what you're going to hear today is not going to surprise you. Say, I have never heard that before. It's the same three things: eat healthier, eat less, exercise more. What we have decided to do is to help people learn how they can do that. We all know what to do, but sometimes it's hard for us to figure out how to do that. For one thing, I'm cheap. I don't like buying expensive food. So I had to find a way to eat healthy on a budget. Another thing, I like working out at home, so I had to figure out how to do things that way. I'm so glad your family has a gym, and people love going to the gym at times, and that's great for some folks. I like being at home. Anyway, we did not reinvent the wheel. We first of all say you have to get it into your mind. If you get it into your mind that you can lose weight and you can get healthy, you will. You have to begin with the mind first. Motivation is, I can do it and I will do it. But for me, the important thing was it had to get in my spirit. It had to start there. And a couple of things happened in a relatively short period of time that kind of motivated me to go on a weight loss journey. In 2013, I was overweight. And I was 53 years of age at the time, pastored Airline Baptist Church, and two things happened within a month. One of them, have you ever heard of a Moonlight Barbecue in Owensboro?
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, glory. A lot of protein there, boys. Man.
A lot of protein. There's a lot of things there, too. So at the time, I was pastoring Airline Baptist in Henderson, and senior group wanted to go to Moonlight, asked me to drive the van, they would pay for my meal. I said, I'm there. That's all you had to say. And I live in Owensboro now, so we found a place that has better barbecue, but Moonlight's probably the most famous. So we went there, and it is a buffet. So my first plate, I got all the veggies. I didn't mess with the salad. I just got the veggies, like the mashed potatoes, which is not a veggie, it's a starch, the corn. Not a veggie, it's a starch, but all that stuff. Then my second plate, I went back and I got the protein, Kyle. I got a full plate of protein. Man, I had ribs and chicken and pork and mutton.
Glory.
Man, it was great. And then my third trip, I didn't mess around with the little itty-bitty plates at the dessert table. I went and got a full-size plate, went to the dessert table. Man, I filled that thing up, overflowing, and it was glorious. And I'm sitting there finishing up my third plate at Moonlight Barbecue, and one of my church members said, boy, our preacher sure can't eat. And as I was driving home, hoping I wouldn't hit a bump because my stomach was so full, I knew that if I hit a pothole, I was going to puke. Just wanted to sit still. I got to thinking, that's the best thing they can say about me. Our preacher sure can't eat. They didn't say our preacher sure can preach. Preacher sure can evangelize. Our preacher sure can take care of the sick. He said our preacher sure can eat. And then shortly after that, I was visiting one of our shut-in members. Her name is Vinia Davis. My wife said, don't use last name. She's dead. She won't care. Vinia Davis, at the time, she was 101 years of age. And then went to go see her. She died 3 years later, 104. But at 101, I was visiting her, and she said, Brother Nathan, you put on some weight, haven't you? And I said, yes, ma'am, I have. And she said, you know, if you do a little bit of work, instead of just sitting around all the time, you lose some of that weight. I said, yes, ma'am, I would. She said, I've got a sidewalk that needs to be cleaned, and I've got a broom that fits your hands. I said, yes, ma'am. I guess when you get to 101, you can say whatever you want. So as I was sweeping that sidewalk, I put those two things together, and I decided, It's time. I was tired of getting out of breath just tying my tennis shoes. I was tired of when the grandkids would say, Papaw, let's play. I would say, not right now. Papaw just doesn't feel like it, because I was just sluggish. I just felt tired. I was tired of all that. So I had to get it in my spirit that this had to change. But the thing that Brother Carl brought up, which was the most important change for me, was I realized that because I was not taking care of my body, I was shortening my time of ministry. Just by what I was doing with my hand, with the fork to my mouth, and what I was not doing with my feet and with my arms. I was shortening my time in ministry. So those three things together got me motivated to do a difference. So this was a picture when we were young. My wife and I are younger. I got married when I was 19 as well. My wife was 20. Yay. Married an older woman. No, she was 21. Married a much older woman. So anyway, this was, of course, many years after we got married. And so we just decided to do something about it. We wrote a book about it. How that came about is when I began losing weight, after I lost about 20 pounds or so, that's how much you have to lose before somebody really notices. Lost about 20 pounds, and people in the church would say, "How'd you do that?" I would flippantly say, "Well, how much time have you got?" And then my brother, who's older than me, Mitchell Wisnett, some of you may know him. He was a Third Baptist in Owensboro 3 decades ago, served in Evansville, Indiana for a while. He's in Kingsport, Tennessee now. My older brother, Mitchell, said, "You need to write some of this stuff down, because people will not come to hear you preach, but they will come to church to learn how to lose weight." I said, "You know what? Even though you are older, that makes sense." So I said, "All right." So we wrote some stuff down. At church, I said, I wrote down what I did to lose weight. If you'd like to learn what I did, we'll be here Tuesday night at 6:30. My wife and I will be here Tuesday night. And if you want to learn about it, come on and we'll share. And we was expecting maybe 5 or 6 people. There was about 20 people that showed up from our church. I said, "All right, we'll take you through this. But what I want you to do is to view this as an evangelistic strategy. And how you can do that is if someone asks you, 'How'd you lose weight?' Tell them we took a class called Imagine Not As Much. If you want to take it with me, I'll join you with that, and you can join next cycle. Because in week 10, I will share the gospel, I'll lead in the sinner's prayer, and give them an opportunity to respond. And so you'll know that every cycle, the gospel will be shared, and people can respond." So they said, okay. I made a commitment to the church that I would only teach it as long as people kept signing up, and I taught it until we left the church. Every semester, we taught it twice a year, in the spring and in the fall, 13 weeks each time. And someone new would come every single time. And through that, we had 15 people join our church. 8 by baptism, accepted Christ in baptism. I'll share, I think, 3 of those stories this morning. And then 7 by transfer of letter. And also what happened is that those who are members of our church, we said, "We want you to become imaginators." What that means is that if someone new comes, you'll agree to help them. Not that you know all the answers, but you started on your journey, and you can help them with some questions that they have. And that created some relationships and some bonding with our new people that started visiting, and that really helped them to come into the life of our church. So that book is available from our publisher, Ambassador International, online at Amazon as well, or I have some in the box. So you can get one today. And if you get it today, I'll even sign it. I mean, my goodness. Tammy won't be able to sign it, of course, but hers is more important than mine. So, all right. So in the book, we cover 4 fitness areas: nutritional fitness, physical fitness, motivational fitness, and spiritual fitness. We felt that all 4 were important. And so in nutritional fitness, we talk a little bit about goals. What do you want to achieve? And so I've given you some paper. I haven't. Harold has given you some paper. And so just write down what your goal is. Whether it's a weight you want to be, or medicine you want to get off of, or some things you want to see change from your doctor's visits. Some of the goals that we've seen in the past is a healthy weight. Others said, "I want to either get off or come down on my blood pressure medicine, my A1C to come down. I would just like some things to be healthier." So what are your goals? And then we help folks to reach those goals. We start with meal and snack planning. And what we have learned is that if you want to lose weight, a good formula is to eat 10 times your body weight goal. For instance, my goal was 185. That's what I wanted to weigh, 185. And I hit that goal. I started in May of 2013, hit that goal in November 2013. I've never gained the weight back. So we not only help people lose weight, but help them learn how to maintain the weight loss. So I multiply that by 10. That came up with 1,850. And so I developed an eating plan of 1,800 calories a day. And I got to tell you, that scared me at first. How many of you have a smartphone? Okay, somebody look up for me, Dairy Queen. Go to Dairy Queen menu. I just want to walk with you for one meal that I would have. This is one meal a day, typical meal at Dairy Queen before I went on my weight loss journey. Okay, look up chicken strip basket. With a gravy. Yes. Can't have it without the gravy. Yeah. Chicken strip basket. Large size Mountain Dew. Ain't gonna mess with the diet. Because I love drinking my calories in, Brother Kyle. Large size Mountain Dew and a large Butterfinger Blizzard.
Oh
no. That's what I would typically eat. Okay, once you add those up, tell us how many calories that is. Chicken strip basket is about 1,000. Large Mountain Dew is about 400. And a large Blizzard is about 700, approximately. So add those together and you've got?
What is your question? It says 2,560 calories.
In one meal.
In one meal.
2,560 calories. That was typical for me. That's just one meal. What I ate that night in Moonlight was probably 4,000 or 5,000 calories with those three plates. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go from maybe 6,000 or 7,000 calories a day to 1,800. I'm going to starve to death. That's what I thought. I said, but I want to try it. I was pleasantly surprised. I did not starve to death because I was giving my body what it needed. What I did lose was the sluggishness in the afternoons, the feeling of being tired all the time. And within 2 weeks period, I felt so much better. I didn't realize I felt bad. I just thought I felt normal.
Yeah.
Didn't realize I felt bad until I started eating correctly and exercising. And then I felt so much better, and I thought, okay, I can do this. So I stayed on that, and so I do 1,800 calories. I have 50 free calories every day. Yay. Do anything I want to with that. So that's a joke, by the way. So we help you develop a meal and snack planning time to meet your goal. Then strategies. How to handle things when you're not at home. It's easier to develop an eating plan when you can control it at home. But what you do when you're out, like today at the KBC building when they want to have lunch, how do you do that? Like birthday parties. We go see our grandkids. We got 5 grandkids. Go see them every year on their birthday, and they always want to have cake and ice cream for some reason. Fridays. How to deal with Fridays. How to deal with emotional eating. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, man.
I know. I've been emotional eating since 1989. We had a good year then. Not much since then. And so.
The Bengals, I've been doing it for 43 years. So
what's that?
The Bengals, I've been doing that for 43 years. I haven't stopped with them. So.
That's right. I've been a fan since 1970. Ain't going to stop. You know, if we just had not got rid of Micah Parsons. Anyway, I'm not going to go into it. We need to fire our owner. That's what I think. But anyway, whole little story. So emotionally, how to handle that, how to deal with that. How to plan to go different places when you know you're going to be tempted, and just to prepare for that. So we help people with that. This is a picture of John. He is our son-in-law. He's married to my daughter, Kara. This is before he went on his weight loss journey with Imagine Not As Much. This is our daughter, Kara, with my lovely wife, Tammy. She is our youngest daughter, married to John. And this was her before the weight loss journey. And this is them after they completed their journey.
The slide didn't show.
Oh, there's Kara. I'm sorry. And there they are. So John lost 260 pounds. Kara lost 140 pounds. She was so mad her husband lost 100 pounds more than she did, but that's typical with women. Women will not lose weight as quicker or as much as men. I'm sorry, that's just the way God made us. Don't get mad at me for that. But still, together they lost almost 400 pounds. It can work with young people. It can work with older people like myself. And we just are so thankful that they went on that journey. The second fitness area is physical fitness, and I'm so thankful that Brother Kyle talked a lot about that because that is so important. Physical activity is extremely important, just doing something more than you're doing now. One of the ladies that took our class, I'll share her story a little bit later, she had not done any physical activity at all for a long, long time. Her name is Becky. I'm not going to use her last name because she's still living, so my wife would be happy. If you're recording this, Tammy, you look at it, be happy. So Becky came to our class, and she said, I have not done any physical activity for a long time, so I think what I'll start doing is walk one time around my house on the outside. Just walk one time around my house. I'm going to try that. Said, that's fine. You start where you can. So she did that. She did that for 2 days in a row. Her neighbor called her. Apparently, she has a nosy neighbor. She said, Becky, are you okay? She said, yeah. Is your house okay? Yeah. Oh, I've seen you walk around your house twice, and you've never done that before in the 30-plus years you've lived here. And she said, I know. I'm exercising. Oh, that's what that looks like. So, okay. So she started where she could. So start where you can. We've dealt with people that are in wheelchairs. One of the people went through our class was a former weightlifter. Unfortunately, he worried his knees doing deadlift. That was his specialty. And so he lived with knee pain for so many years. One of our deacons would go visiting with me, was having trouble going up and down stairs. Finally, he got wheelchair bound, but he helped people learn how they could lift weights in a wheelchair. So you can do your upper body when you can't do your physical body. Had one lady who had a bad back, and so we had to find a way to work with her. The point is, if there is a will, there is a way. You can find a way to add physical activity to your everyday. We encourage aerobic exercise. That's when you get your heart rate up to about 80%, between 60 and 80% of maximum heart rate. We have the formula in the book, if you want to look at that, on how to reach that. Try to do that at least 30 minutes of that aerobic exercise. I do aerobic exercise 4 days a week. I love walking. That's my favorite thing to do. I like walking outside, but when it's inclement weather, I live near Cross Point Baptist Church, and the pastor has given me a key to their gym. And so I can go there and walk in the walking path, and so I'm very thankful for that pastor. I hope he never gets mad at me. So I can do that. We also encourage anaerobic exercise, and Brother Kyle brought up some great information about why that is important. That's weight resistance, weight training. You can do either with your own body movements, or you can use dumbbells, light weights. I like using dumbbells, so I have those at home. And it's just a way to build muscles. When you put them together, the aerobic and the anaerobic, you will become healthier. And then we have a story of a great-grandma. Are we there yet? Yay. All right. She came to our class. Her daughter-in-law and her granddaughter were members of our church. And so she came, and when she started with us, she had to hold on to a cart at Walmart just to get around. She was aware that they do have the riding carts, but her pride wouldn't let her get in one of those. So she would just hold on to this cart for dear life and walk around and just try to make it the best way that she could. So her goal was to be able to walk at Sam's Club without any help. That was her goal, because they would go both places. They would go to Walmart, then you go to Sam's Club. At Sam's Club, she'd have to sit in the car, got wore out at Walmart, and she just did everything that she could. So that was her goal. And so she reached that goal. But something great happened. Her granddaughter was in the band, the high school band, And so they went to hear her play, and she was with her daughter-in-law, and they were walking, trying to find a seat, and she said, I'm going to go to the top of the bleachers. She walked all the way to the top of the bleachers, and she sat to watch her granddaughter. Her son was looking for her and called her up and said, Mom, where are you? She said, look up. And he did, and there she was. Amen. That thrilled her to tell that story, that before she started her journey, she would not have been able to do that, even think about doing that. But she did some strength training, changed her diet, and she was able to accomplish that. So we loved hearing her story and loved sharing it with her. So we have nutritional fitness, we have physical fitness, now we have motivational fitness. Motivational fitness is when you get it into your mind that you can do it and you will do it. You can do it and you will do it. So we promote a lifestyle change. Not think about it as something temporary, something that you'll only do for a short period of time until you reach your goal, but something you can do for the rest of your life. So to do that, in nutritional fitness, we encourage you only eat foods that you like, that you enjoy. So what we do is we give a whole list of healthy foods in one of the appendixes. We give a whole list of healthy foods. We ask you to circle the ones that you like, that you enjoy. Put an X over the ones that you don't like, that you will never eat again if your life depended on it. And then the rest you experiment with. The rest just try. If you don't know you don't like it, try it. For instance, on greens, the darker the green, the healthier it is. So iceberg lettuce is the least healthy. Kale is the most healthy. I ain't going to eat kale. I hate it. It ain't going to happen. I tried it 3 times. The first time I tried it, I didn't like it. The second time I tried it, someone said, you didn't get kale from the right place. You need to get it from the right place. So I bought it from the right place. I still didn't like it. The third time I tried it, somebody brought it for a healthy potluck meal, and they called it kale chips. I tried it, and it tasted like a cow chip. You know what that is. So I'm done with kale. Even though it's the healthiest green I can eat, I ain't gonna do it. I can do spring mix. I can do spinach. Those are also healthy choices. So a lifestyle change, something you can do for the rest of your life. One of the issues with diets, which I had before my lifestyle change, is that I would do it because I wanted to lose weight, and I did it because I had to do it. But as soon as I reached my goal, then I thought, I ain't never drinking that shake again. I'm never eating that stuff again. And so it never worked. I would lose and gain. So it's a lifestyle change, deciding that you can make a change. As I said, you will feel better. After about 2 weeks of eating healthier, you'll feel better in exercising. When you start to eat the right kind of foods in the right amount, your body will say thank you, and it will reward you for that. In fact, so much so that one of my favorite meals was at Sonic. If you go to Sonic, and so I decided, I started my weight loss journey, I'm on my way, I'm going to treat myself to a Sonic double cheeseburger. I'm just going to do that. And so I did. I was about a month in, and I got sick. After eating healthy for 30 days, I put that greasy stuff in my stomach, and it made me physically sick. And I thought, I'm not gonna do that again. So Sonic is off my list. Because when you get to feeling better, you will want to stay on that path and do what you can. Also, once you started getting healthy, boom boom is better. You don't know what that means? It's sex. It's better. I can tell you, personal experience, but I'm not gonna tell you. But it does improve because your bodies are healthier. Anyway, a lot of reasons. You'll just have to use your imagination.
Don't Google it.
Yeah, that is not a time to ask ChatGPT. Also, motivational fitness. We help you deal with healthy eating saboteurs. These are people who may not intentionally mean to, but they will get you off track. Our son-in-law is one of those. not the one who lost weight, our another son-in-law. He does not eat healthy, and he likes it when everybody around him does not eat healthy. So we'll come over, and he went and specifically got two really good tasting pies. And he said, "Nathan and Tammy, would y'all like a slice of pie?" And we said, "No, thank you." And he said, "But they're really good." I said, "I'm sure they are." He said, "And I got them just for you guys because you were coming to visit." And my wife said this phrase, which worked. She said, "Not now, maybe later." He said, "Okay." That worked. Maybe later never came. But he didn't know that. He forgot about it. So that's one phrase that we use. Just recognizing that there are some people who will try to get you to eat things that you know are really, really tempting for you. And so you learn how to deal with those. We also help you deal with special occasions, which we've already mentioned, how to deal with birthdays and Fridays and the Cowboys losing again. And anyway, I'm not going to even go into that. Isolation versus group. Some people can do this by themselves. I did it by myself for 6 months. And so when we began to teach this, I thought, I can give this information probably in 4 hours. So they'll know everything I know. We'll meet four times, one time for 4 weeks. It'll be done. They'll have the information. They'll go. And my wife said, no, that's not going to happen. People enjoy being in a group setting. They enjoy being together. So we're going to stretch it out for 13 weeks. I said, "Tammy, how are you going to stretch 4 hours of material into 13 weeks? She said, "Watch me." And we did. So now it's a 13-week, 12 weeks of study and sharing. Part of that is sharing, people sharing one with another. And the last week is the healthy potluck meal. There's something about being in a group setting where people are going through the same thing that you're going through. So at the very beginning of the session, we have a time of sharing where you can either share successes or you can share struggles. So this is where I've had success or this is where I'm struggling, and then we help. We either celebrate with you or we talk together about how we can help you deal with the struggles that you have. And so that group setting has really been important. In fact, we had some people who took Imagine Not As Much about four times, four different cycles for 2 years. And every time they brought somebody new with them, every time. So it was really cool. Well, the motivational side, we encourage you to set a goal just for that 13 weeks. This is beyond your final goal. What do you want to accomplish just in 13 weeks? We also help you learn from mistakes. Mistakes will happen. You will not be perfect. I'm so thankful that Brother Kyle brought up, God does not expect perfection. He does want consistency. He does want devotion to him. But we can learn from our mistakes, like the Sonic. I will not eat at a Sonic again, or at least not get a double cheeseburger again from Sonic. And pray. It is okay to pray and ask God for help in your weight loss journey. That's okay. Scripture says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." He cares about every aspect of it. And so sometimes I pray, specifically, if I'm going to an event where I know there's going to be decadent food, I pray for God to give me wisdom and understanding. Last night we had our executive board meeting. We have five of those a year in our association, and the host church always makes the food. And the women of those churches want to outdo the women in the other churches. So they always have great food, wonderful food. And so I do a 2+1+1 then done. So I get two vegetables, one protein, and one starch, and then I'm done. And so I'm kind of like a shark at first around the table, just kind of looking at what's there, just to see what I'm going to choose. But last night, I had to take care of some other things, so I was one of the last ones in the line. So that made my choices very easy. Very easy indeed. So I got my 2+1+1. They had a lot of other stuff. And then they had a whole table of desserts. I mean, there was still a lot of desserts left. There was an itty-bitty square of a chocolate chip cookie-type thingy, about that big around, two bites. I got that. that I could handle that. And that satisfied my sweet tooth. So praying, and that prayer helped. God gave me wisdom and direction on how to deal with that. Now I want to tell you about the Do Not Donut story. One gentleman was in our class. He's one of the people that joined by transfer of letter. He said, I work at a place in my desk is the place where every Wednesday they put the Wednesday donuts on my desk. That's just my desk is central to the office, and so that's where it goes. And they are screaming my name every single Wednesday because I love donuts. And so we had a time of sharing. I said, okay, this is his struggle. How can we help him with that? So we came up with letting him know what are some of the snacks that you enjoy that you know will not get you off your weight loss journey. I mean, snacks that you really, really enjoy. So he gave about three or four. So we suggested take those with you on Wednesdays. Take one of those with you on Wednesdays. When everyone else gets a donut, you eat your snack that is delicious and healthy, and you don't feel like you're depriving yourself. So he came back the next week. He said, that worked. I no longer feel deprived. I don't feel like I'm missing out. I ate my snack, which is delicious, 100 calories, stayed away from the donut, and so he used that from now on. So, again, where there is a will, there is a...
way.
About three of you know that. Let's try it one more time. Where there is a will, there is a...
way.
There is a way. There is a way. So you can find out how to do that. The most significant thing for us was the spiritual side. That's what motivated me. I was reading a book called Bod for God by Steve Reynolds. Some of you may have read that book. He quotes an article by Ken Ferraro within the book. And Ken Ferraro wrote an article about obesity in America. And in the research that they did, the Christian denomination is the most obese people group in America. And then he said these words. I wish he hadn't have said this because it hit me between the eyeballs. He said, the reason people are obese in the pews is because the pastors are obese behind the pulpit. They follow the leadership of the pastor. I thought, why do you have to go to meddling like that? Why do you have to do that? So I thought, okay, I need to get serious with this temple that God has given me. And so spiritual fitness. Within the book, we include a 13-week daily devotion. We take one scripture per week and go over the four areas every week, the four fitness areas, nutritional, physical, motivational, spiritual. Then we add the benefits of water, benefits of friends, and also effective time management. So that makes up for the 7 week upon every scripture verse. And some have told us that daily devotional is very helpful. It helps them stay focused in the Word and helps them to deal with that. I'm going to share with you one of the verses from that. Some have already been quoted today, but one that I thought was you may not be very familiar with is Proverbs chapter 23, verse 2. And when we show it in the book, it's in week 3, some say, I don't think that verse is in the Bible. Well, then let's look it up. Let's get a copy of God's Word. This is what it says. This is King James Version, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 2. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. That's pretty serious. I was talking about if you're sitting down with a ruler and they set dainty food around you, if you're a man with a big appetite, put a knife to your throat. Not slit your throat, but threaten. And so we deal with that on strategies. How to take seriously this weight loss journey. So daily devotion. We also present the gospel. That is week 10. We have a group of prayer warriors at Airline Baptist Church. Joyce, it was the leader of that prayer group, and she would say every cycle, she'd say, Brother Nathan, tell me when is week 10, because I know you're sharing the gospel. We're going to be praying that night. We'll be praying at 6:30 that night. And so I tell her every cycle, week 10, this is the night, this is the Tuesday night, we're going to be presenting the gospel. And so they would be praying for that, and it was a tremendous collaboration between the entire church. We also encourage people to get involved with the church. So week 10 is beginning your relationship with Jesus. Week 11 is continuing that relationship with Jesus by getting involved with the local church. So we talk about our church a little bit, but every church can use this chapter on how what it means to be involved with a small group. We call that Sunday school in our church. What it means to be involved with ministry in the church, how you can find your niche, how you can serve, and how you can connect with people. And so this became one of our front doors to joining our church. We were pleasantly surprised with that. Not surprised what God can do, just surprised that he used this tool. So I want to tell you about a prescription story of salvation. So we had already been through several cycles. And probably we were on our fifth cycle this time. And this couple comes walking in that I'd never seen them before, carrying a prescription from their doctor. And they said, our doctor prescribed your class for us to lose weight. I said, okay. Come to find out that two of our couples that had gone through the class twice had lost weight. A1C was down, blood pressure was down, and a third one was down. Sugar, blood pressure.
Cholesterol.
Thank you, cholesterol. That's it. All three were down. So this medical doctor, she asked them, what are you guys doing? So they told her. We took a class called Imagine Not As Much, helping us eat healthy and exercise and live a healthy lifestyle. And so she asked for a copy of the book. So we made her pay for it, so since she is a doctor. So anyway, so this couple comes walking in. And this is the first time they had been to church together in over 35 years. Because she was Catholic, he was Baptist, and they decided neither one wanted to change, neither one wanted to go to the other church, so they just decided not to go to church at all. And so they just haven't been to church as a married couple. First time they've been in church. So they walked in, said, our doctor said to come. I said, well, we're glad to see you. And so they began losing weight. He was super excited about his belt. He had to keep moving his belt. In fact, he started to put holes in his belt. I said, brother, you can buy new belts. He said, I know, but it is so rewarding to put that hole in that belt, because, I mean, it's my belt, and I want to make room for it be smaller. So he was losing weight faster than she was, but she lost some weight as well. So we got to week 10, and we shared the gospel, and gave them an opportunity to respond. When we do that, we give out these sheets for them to fill out. And so she filled it out that she was ready to talk about having a relationship with Jesus. She said, you know, I know what church is, but I was raised Catholic, and I'm not really sure what you're talking about, a relationship with Jesus. So we shared that with her. She accepted Christ as her personal Savior. He joined the church by transfer of letter, and they attended church every Sunday together until COVID hit. Mm-hmm. Then they had to stop. But until COVID hit, they were there every Sunday. And she said she wanted to wait to get baptized until it got warmer. I said, well, you do know we have a baptistry inside with a heater in it. She said, yeah, I know, but I still want to wait. And it was just a great story that all came about because of this ministry that we started in our church. So we are encouraging churches to think about starting that ministry in your church. It can freely lead to some transformational transformational times. All right, time for questions. That's going to come a little bit later during lunchtime, but I want to share a couple other things. I told you about Becky. I want to share her salvation experience. So the reason she got connected with, she's the one that walked around your house. Remember that. Her daughter was married to Betty's son. That's how they knew each other. Betty had taken the class, had lost weight. Becky asked Betty, how'd you do that? She gave the answer we asked her to give, took a class called Imagine Not As Much, if you want to take it. I'll take it with you. You can join next cycle. Actually, she said, I want to take it now. We'd already been to two classes. She said, well, you have to talk to Brother Nathan about that. I don't know. You need to go talk to him. So she came, she knocked on my door, came to my office, and she said, my medical doctor said I have three choices. I'm overweight. I either lose weight on my own, have surgery, or die. Those are my three choices. Not ready to die, don't want to have surgery yet, so I want to try to lose weight on my own. Then she said, can I please come to your church and take this class? I thought, doggone it, my brother Mitchell was right. That is the first time ever somebody has begged me to come to church. Mm-hmm. Ever. And I said, yes, you can come. So we got to week 10. She filled out a paper. She said she already had a relationship with Jesus. Week 11, she said, I need to talk with you and Tammy after church, after class. I said, okay. She said, I know what I wrote on that paper, but I really do not have a relationship with Jesus. I'd like to have one. Can you go over that with me one more time? Amen. I said, yes, ma'am. Love to. And so we shared the gospel with her, 101, or 201. My wife and I shared the gospel with her. And that night, week 11, she accepted Christ as her Savior. She came forward the very next Sunday. She had been out of church for 20-plus years. And now she was back in church. When she got baptized, she brought two rows of people with her to witness it. Mm. And it was just a tremendous celebration. And so, what are some things that you can do now? We'll take questions during the lunchtime. One, drink water. We encourage that. As Brother Kyle said, do not drink calories. Drink water. If you don't like the taste of water, you can buy flavors and put in the water. It doesn't add a whole lot to it as far as calories. Some are calorie-free, but drink water. Some ask, well, how much water? The minimum is 64 ounces of water. The maximum is half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you do not want to drink more than 100 ounces of water, because that will mess up your sodium, mess up your electrolytes, mess up a lot of things. Quite honestly, that's not the problem with most people drinking too much. So minimum of 64 ounces of water. I drink 8 ounce glasses of water before I leave the house in the morning. So I get six of them out, and then I drink two of those bottles throughout the day. So I drink 10 8 ounce glasses of water, so I drink about 80 ounces of water a day. But water does a whole lot of things to help. Not only helps you stay hydrated, helps with your muscles, your joints, helps with indigestion. I used to take Prilosec and Tums a lot. Now that I'm eating right, eating healthy, and drinking water, I'm off of those. So drink water. Keep a food journal. Just write down what you eat. That will be a surprising thing. And you can do that on your phone. You can download an app where you can keep it on your phone. That's what my daughter does. She's young. She's technology smart. So she does it on her phone. She can even take a picture of something and it'll tell her how many calories is in that. So keep a food journal. Just what do you eat and when do you eat and why do you eat. And create or join a group. Join an Imagine Not As Much group or create a group. We had one church that sat with us for 13 weeks, wanted to start it in their own church. And they said, is it okay if we don't call it Imagine Not As Much and if we don't use your book? Absolutely. You can call it anything you want to. As long as you're getting healthy, that's fine. And so they're doing something completely different. So we don't care what you do, just as long as you're helping people become healthy and sharing the gospel with them. I may butcher this quote, but I heard it here in this KBC building. It was a few years ago. Some of you may even know who said this quote. So I don't remember it exactly. But it goes something like this: if the only thing we do is help people improve their lives and don't introduce them to Jesus, we're just making this earth a little bit more comfortable place to go to hell. Yeah. That's all we're doing. Yeah. So we encourage you, strongly encourage you, don't back off of making it Christ-centered, whatever you do. and make sure Jesus is at the forefront. So that's our contact information, and that's our book, and I think I'm done on time for the Herald.